All right, today, women, let me start back. Women, last week you told me how much you enjoy my message, beating up men. I got so many compliments from you. I mean, it was great. I mean, I was feeling like a man, you know? Yeah, winning, you know? You know? Well, but this Sunday, ladies, it's your turn. And, you know, I know it's Mother's Day. And so when I'm talking, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to your neighbor. This message is not for you. It's for your neighbor or even from people who are not here. Okay? I don't want to get nasty phone calls or texts or letters saying, you know, we live in a different world now and you shouldn't preach that or this. So I want to ask your permission to be free to speak. Okay, ladies, is that okay? Men are like, yes. So today, I'm talking about God's purpose for women. And we're going to go into the beginning. When God created male and female, when God created Adam and Eve, we're going right into the Bible. So open to Genesis chapter 2, verse 19. If we want to know the original purpose, we have to go back to the instructions or to the one who created the thing. About 15 years ago, I bought a chainsaw, and some of you know that story. It was my first gasoline chainsaw. Before that, I was using electric one, the Remington, from Menards. And so I bought a big one from Campbell's. I remember this well. And they said, don't forget, you have to mix your gas with oil to put in your 50-to-1 mix, whatever it is, to put it in your chainsaw. Then my first chainsaw. So I'm like, you know, I could probably get away for one day without putting, you know, it's just too much effort. I got to put gas and mix it, and I don't know how to do it. My dad has always done that. He changed my oil, you know, till then. And I'm like, I could get away without, you know, putting oil in gas. Well, about 2 hours, the chainsaw started overheating, and I kept running it because I was in the middle of the job, right? The job has to be done. Come on, guys. You know how we are. I'll finish it and then I'll go buy oil for sure. I promise God. Just help this chainsaw last, you know, for a few more hours. In the middle of a job, the chainsaw, I mean, goes bad and locks up. So you try to pull to start it. Mm-mm. Ain't happening. So I go back and I said, something wrong with this chainsaw. I go back to the store and I said, something wrong with it. Fix it. It's defective. And they're like, let me look at this piston here. You overheated. Did you put oil in there? And you know, yeah, of course I put oil in it. You know how we are. And I didn't. And they didn't refund me. They're not stupid. See, when you use something the way it's not supposed to be used by the creator, by the designer, by the engineer, by the manufacturer, it will always get you results that you don't want. See, God has a special purpose why He created certain things. He has a special purpose for men, and He has a special purpose for women. But in our age, there's just so much gender confusion. From feminism to chauvinism to homosexuality. And these are all issues that we deal with. God's design. What did God created it for? Sometimes we feel different. But if we want to know what the thing was created for, we have to go back to that creator. Amen. So let's look at Genesis 2 verse 18. Listen to what it says. And the Lord God said, it is not good that a man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. So women, if you want to know what God created you for, and I'm going to just say it. God created you to be a helper. Comparable. Not lower, not less value, not a slave, not a robot, but compatible to him. And then it says this. Verse 21, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to a man. And Adam said, and in Hebrew, actually, what Adam says is more of a song. It has a poetic flow. That's why women love musicians. He might not have a job. All he has is a guitar. But if he could sing and he could strum that guitar, they'll be like, oh. My wife been complaining lately. I'm sorry, babe. I'm gonna tell him. She's like, how come when we were just dating, you used to sing songs for me and used to write songs? And now you haven't wrote me a song, so I'm going to have to, I guess, write one. But she's been complaining. I'm serious. Women love, they dig musicians. So guys, if you get an iPad 2, write a song on it, and sing to them. And that's it. You got it. So Adam sings this song. Adam said, this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She should be called a woman because she was taken out of a man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And they both were naked, and man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Now, I am not preaching about wimpy women. I don't like wimpy women. That's not what this message is all about. Wimpy women who don't know who they are, try to be somebody else. I married a strong woman. My wife is not. And a lot of men here, you have strong women. And hopefully by example, as a pastor, I've been showing you that my wife is not my slave. My wife is not my servant. My wife is not a cleaning lady. If you know anything about my wife, she's a strong woman. She has her opinion. She doesn't back down. If I say it cost us $10, she'll always say it costs $9. If I say it's $100, she'll say it's $95, baby. She'll correct me on that. Guys, some of your wives are the same way. It's all about right. Okay? And so we're not talking about women, Christian women, being wimpy women. We're not saying that God created women to be just helper. Because some of you are sitting here, and when you hear that God created a woman to be a helper, especially when you're a young person, I ain't nobody's helper. I'm a superstar. For some women, it's offensive when they read that, and it says that she was created to be a helper. You know, we live in a day, in an age where everybody is a superstar and everybody else is my helper, right? Guitar hero. It's not the same as being on the stage, let me tell you that. But it makes you feel that way, doesn't it? And so, a lot of people get offended when they hear that God created a woman to be a helper to men. Note, we're okay of being helpers to our bosses, in our jobs and supervisors. We're okay. But when it comes to relationship, right away there's this, I'm not going to be anybody's helper. I'm my own person. Well, listen, God did not say that you're not your own person. But God did say that we complement each other. We're not the same. We complement each other. Guys, how many of you ever tried to have a baby? Why is it that women laugh when I say that if a man wants to have a baby? That's funny, right? It is kind of disgusting. But if we reverse it and a woman wants to become like a man, we're like, oh, it's okay. Listen, to be a helper is not belittling. It's not humiliating. It's not demeaning or degrading. I'm going to show you today that being a helper is actually a high calling. The best description I find in the Bible about helper is the Holy Spirit. Do you know that Holy Spirit is God? And just a few months ago, we talked about if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, that sin of blasphemy is never forgiven. And listen to this. Jesus said, when he left this earth, John 14:16, listen to what it says. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. Notice, another helper. So Jesus was not afraid to be called our helper. He came to help. God is a helper. And here we are. Not unless we feel like the ultimate God. That's why the only reason we don't like to be helpers. But if God is not afraid to be a helper, Holy Spirit, the most gentlest form of God, of Trinity, says, I am okay with being your helper. God says, I am your helper. Listen to this. Another scripture, 14:26. But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all the things that I said. He's not just this mindless helper, will do whatever you say. Holy Spirit will teach you and guide you into all truth. So women, when God says that you were created to be helper, you were created to be like Holy Spirit, like Jesus Christ. It's not a shameful thing to be a helper. The world says, no, you, that's degrading. That's demeaning for you, woman, to be a helper. But it's not. Because Holy Spirit is a helper. And we're so far away from biblical principles that preachers are afraid to preach this now. But I've always said, I want to be honest to the scripture. Listen, when you go against scripture, you don't sin against me. I ain't mad at you. You don't go against me. Listen, when your brother sins, he doesn't sin against you. Against scripture, he doesn't sin against you. So I ain't mad at you. But I have to be honest to this truth. So listen, helper is not a mindless. Sometimes helper of a CEO does more than a CEO. Do you think politicians write their own bills? 2,000 pages? Who wrote that? They're helpers. Do you think President Obama does everything himself? He has helpers. And listen, they're not demeaned to be called his helpers. Why are we sometimes demeaned to be called servants or helpers? Another scripture, John 15:26. When the helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, this is the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father. He will testify of me. Do you know that God has a helper? Holy Spirit is God's helper. Wisdom is God's helper. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 8. Wisdom, it was helping God create this world. God uses helpers. We need to be helpers, not just women. Every one of us needs to be helpers to somebody. I know you're a star in your own rank, but you need to be a helper to somebody else. John 16:7 says this, but I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. Jesus says this, for if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. Listen, God, Jesus knew this about God. God so relied on his helpers. He says, Jesus said this, if I don't leave, Holy Spirit cannot come. God will not release Holy Spirit unless I come. So this is what had to happen. Holy Spirit was with the Father helping him. Jesus goes back to heaven, releases the Holy Spirit to help the believers. Now that's a great truth of being a helper. If God needs helpers, ladies, your man for sure needs help. We men need your help. How come it's your job? There can't be two managers. Has to be one. Because who do employees listen to? Okay, if I listen to him, he'll fire me. If I listen to him, he'll fire me. See, there can't be two heads. Otherwise, it's a monster. And God knows there's order. There's order in heaven. There's order on earth. There's order in the army. There's order in navy. There's order in the government. Otherwise, it'd be anarchy. We wouldn't survive. We wouldn't have a great culture like we do without order. In the Godhead, there's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. In the family, it's husband, wife, children. Now, a lot of people think that Bible teaches that a wife is lower than her husband. But look at your hands. Everybody, put your two hands in front of you. Which one is your leading hand? For most of you, it's right, but for some of you, it's left. Okay, so that's the leading hand. Which hand you don't need? Or which hand has less value to you? Which one would you be willing to cut off? None, right? See, husband and wife, they complement one another. They're not, my left hand, because I use it less, doesn't mean that it has less value. It has as much value, but it does a different role. My left hand is my helper. For some of you, it's opposite way. Your right hand is your helper. Doesn't matter. Make sense? What would you do without a helper? Life would be so much harder. So husband and wife, complement one another. It's called complementarianism. They complement one another. Listen, God hates slavery. Because a lot of women could object and say, I ain't his slave. I'm not going to be his slave. I'm not going to be his servant. I'm a servant of Jesus. Come on. Bible says if you can't stand the man that's living with you and sleeping in your bed, how can you say you love God if you don't love? If you can't stand your brother, if you can't stand your sister. A lot of times we hide behind, I'm going to do what God says. We just want to do what we want to do. I don't know if God helps anybody. Because he has helpers, right? Jesus and Holy Spirit. I just showed you, God has helpers. So I don't know if God actually helps anybody. He helps us, right? But I'm talking about higher than him. Does he help anybody? Maybe that's what it means to be the God, is that you don't have anybody you can help higher than you. So my point is this. You following me? Don't make yourself God. By saying, I have nobody I could help. I'm the Alpha and Omega. There's no one greater than I. And this man I live with, oh, come on. You know he needs help. And I'm not going to help him. A lot of times there's so much conflict in marriages. A lot of times men act like boys because the order in the house is messed up. How many of you have seen this latest movie by Tyler Perry? Medea, the last one. Anybody? Me and my wife went and saw that. And what we saw there, there was these two kids that totally disrespected their dad. And Medea gave him some godly wisdom. You got to go see it. She smacked him around a little bit. But when there is no order in the house, It goes wrong. You know what? Somebody said this, that marriage is a dying union. And it's almost true. Without God, your marriage pretty much has no chance. A lot of people get married in the church, but doesn't mean they follow this word that the Bible says to follow. If you want your marriage to be success, you have to follow these principles. That it's built on. You're not a slave. God hates slavery. You're not a servant. You are a helper. And if you do it willingly, nobody can make you a slave. If you don't do it willingly, and somebody forces you, you are. If you work
a job willingly. You're not in bondage. But if a court makes you work, or you work in prison, help me out here. Amen. Amen.
Now there's three views out there about genders, and I want to mention them to you. They're kind of words that you might not remember. One is egalitarianism, which is a feministic view. It says this: there's no natural distinctions between the roles of women and men in the home or in the church. Women can be a pastor and men can be a stay-at-home dad, so that their wives can pursue their career. Next one is complementarian, and that's the one that we follow. Men and women are partners in every area of life and ministry together. Though equal, men and women have complementary and distinct gender roles, so that men are to lovingly lead and head their homes like Jesus. And only men can be pastors in the church. Next one is hierarchical, which is chauvinistic. Women are not only commanded to follow male leadership, but are not given a voice with male leaders, as women are often chauvinistically kept under thumb as a polar opposite of egalitarian feminism. Now, there's these three views that people have. And you know what? Two of them comes from the curse. Because when God created men and women, He created them equally. He created them equal. But He did give Adam a leadership role, even in the Garden of Eden. Because when Eve ate of the fruit, God didn't come to Eve. He came to Adam and said, "What have you done? And how come you didn't teach your wife not to eat that fruit?" See, sometimes women can find a lot of faults. And I hear this, guys. I hear a lot of women finding faults in their men. But men are almost afraid to point out a fault in their women. It's true in our culture. That's what happens. Men are afraid. It's like, "Oh, my wife is good. My wife." No, we're all sinners. Men and women are sinners. But before sin, listen, men, sometimes we don't want to get into an argument with a woman. So we just rather, you know, push it aside. You know, "Yes, you're good, baby. You're good." And that's what Adam did. When he saw that Eve was playing with the snake, it was his job to go to her and say, "Hey, that snake is dangerous. He's crafty. Listen, don't talk to him. Listen, don't eat of that tree." What do you mean? Tell a woman don't do something? This is 21st century. What are you talking about? But listen, because Adam didn't say, he lost. Because he didn't tell her, "Hey, God said not to eat of this. And listen, I'm asking you not to eat of this. Don't command, demand, or force, or you will not eat of this." You know, do it in a loving way. Who's the man in this garden of Eden, right? He should have lovingly said, "Husbands, listen to me. Sometimes your wife will do something and you'll see it. Don't be afraid to go and say, 'Honey, in loving manner, I think what you're doing is wrong.'" I do it to my wife. I tell her that too. No, seriously, there was a big deal recently. For a long time, I was telling Tanya something. She's like, "Oh, no, you don't know what you're talking about." And then she got a phone call. And she was like, "Baby," and she was like hugging me, "You were so right. Thank you. I should have listened to you." Now, I'm not always right. Don't. But it's okay for us if we see something. That's what a helper does. That's what a helper does. If a helper to a president sees somebody talking something and he does not report it, he's a bad helper. He has to come and say, "Hey, this is what they're saying. I don't think you should do this." That doesn't mean a woman doesn't have a voice. She has a voice. She must have a voice. She must advise her husband. There must be a debate in your home. Amen. This is not a chauvinistic type, because chauvinism comes from a curse. God wants your family to work. God wants your children to be godly and Christian. God wants your family to stay together. Amen. Well, what are you saying, Pastor? I should just sit there and wait for a man to come sweep me off my feet so I can serve him? So I can be his helper? I don't go to school. I don't work. What do I do? No, that's you're not getting this, if that's what you think. A woman should go to school. Proverbs 31 woman. I mean, you should be everything. You should be educated. You should be wise. In let's open to 1 Corinthians 7:32. Paul says this. I want you to be free from the concerns of this life. An unmarried man can spend his time doing the Lord's work and think how to please him. Okay, next scripture, 33. But a married man has to think about his earthly responsibilities and how to please his wife. That's it. So listen, when you are, what it's saying is, when you are unmarried, young women, young men, you should be thinking how you can please the Lord. You should be educated. You should be saying, how can you spread the gospel? What can you do for the Lord, for the ministry? Guys, you gotta be careful what kind of women you marry. Does she have a servant heart? Is she a helper? You know, I'm thinking already. You know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking, when my son starts being in an age where I have to tell him what kind of woman he needs to marry. I know in our age, no, let him choose for themselves. No, I'm going to advise my son. A good father does that. I'm going to tell my son what kind of woman I think he should marry. And it's going to be, does she fear the Lord? Okay, she's a Christian, Dad. You know, everybody's a Christian now. Does she serve in her church? Because a lot of people say they are servants, but don't listen. Look, the works will tell you more than the words. Amen. Is she feminine? Last point on this, that God wants a woman to be a helper, to create a woman to be a helper to a man, is that if a woman is not going to be a helper to her husband, for sure she's going to be a helper to another man. It's called wife swap. That's what I call it. Can I tell you what wife swap is? It's this. My wife dresses up nicely, wears nice clothes in the morning, puts makeup on, does her hair, and goes to an office and serves her boss. And then his wife dresses up, does her hair, does her makeup, puts high heels, comes and serves another boss. And there's called a wife swap. And then a wife comes home after serving a man. And she's like, I can't serve my man anymore. I can't help my man. And that's why a lot of times, and what do you expect? This is what our modern society has created. Where our wives are serving somebody else. Wife swap. Of course she doesn't have any energy. She's been working all day. Of course she wants to put sweatpants on and a sweatshirt. She's been dressed in a tight suit all day. High heels. So don't complain when she's home. Oh, my wife doesn't dress us up for me anymore like she used to. Well, yeah, she's tired. She's working all day. Maybe you should pick up and maybe she should just be your helper. You should be, you know, making it, going, doing it. If you have to have two jobs for a period of time, that's fine. Second point is this. Women were created to be feminine, not masculine. We live in a day where women, a lot of women, It seems like their goal in life is to be like a man. They want to work like men, dress like men, curse like men, spit like men, drink like a man, stink like a man, play like a man, smoke like a man, chew like a man, fight like a man, boss around like a man, swear like a man, burp like a man. To be like a man, it almost became for women highest goal of achievement. Like that's, listen. It's not, women, it's not your highest calling to pursue masculinity. And besides, everything what a man, I just read a man do, is not right. It's wrong. Second, a woman has to stoop lower to man's level. You are not created to be like a man. You're created to be a woman. And listen. So even if you do, women, achieve being a man, you demoted yourself. You didn't achieve much. God created for you to be a woman. And in school, you know, we teach gender equality. But really, what we teach is girls to be like boys. Help me out. Oh, don't you be lower than a man. Oh, don't you be this and that. No. And there was this incident in Iowa, I think it was, where a girl wanted to wrestle a boy. You probably heard of that. Okay? And the boy kind of said, I don't want to wrestle you. And that was like a big deal. Listen, we have different, men and women, we have different roles. I hope no guy is trying to get pregnant right now. I just hope not. So lady, don't be afraid to be feminist. Feminine. Thank you. Do you know that in the Bible, it's actually a sin for a man to be feminine? Let me show you something. 1 Corinthians 6:9. This is from King James Version, so it's kind of the version. Know ye not that unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers. Is that word here? Effeminate. Now, effeminate, what does it mean to be effeminate? I searched it on Google. Effeminate means that a man tries to be and act all like a woman. So if it's against God, so if against the word of God for a man to act and dress like a woman, listen, the same way for a woman. 1 Corinthians 6:9. I didn't say it. I'm just preaching it. I'm just a mailman. Don't hate the mailman. Just a messenger. You know, in schools they teach this gender equality. Everybody is equal. They tell girls, well, you're supposed to be like boys. Well, but try teaching that in an area of homosexualism and oh, you'll have an uproar. You'll have LCLU, coming against you hard. Start saying that, well, no, you're supposed to be like this to a homosexual. And they'll be like, what? What'd you say they were born that way? So if we're saying they were born that way, they're saying they were born that way, don't change them. Then why are you trying to change the whole generation of little girls who were born that way? Now, ladies, some of you are thinking, well, what am I going to do? I'm this way. And I'm a strong, woman. I have my opinions. Nobody's saying that you should be a weak woman.
I look at a preacher by the name Joyce Meyer. How many of you know of her? I mean, she reminds me of kind of a strong, masculine woman. But if you listen to her messages, she'll remind you of how much she respects her man. How much, yes, she preaches on big stages to thousands of people. But at home, when she comes home, she's like, I want to be a helper to my husband. She keeps repeating it and keeps repeating it. So maybe at your job, you are bigger than your husband. But God has the order. And if you follow that order, you will not be unhappy. Because God never says anything to steal our joy. Actually, the reason He says the things He says is so our life will be full of joy. And a lot of times, like I said last week, we'll do it our way and mess up horribly. And then eventually, hopefully, we will come back to the Word of God. So today, my message is not for you women to go home and be helpers to your husbands. If you are, you know, if you're married. That's not my message. My message to you is this. I'm preaching the truth. You can choose not to do it. But in case sometimes in the future, you try your way. You try going without, you try world map to get where you want to go. And it didn't lead you to where you want to go. You'll remember, okay, pastor preached a different way. Maybe I should try that. That's why I'm preaching the truth. Not to condemn you, not to say that you're bad, because we all try different things. But eventually, I hope that we can come to the truth. And the truth shall set us free. Thank you, Lord. Are you getting anything out of this, ladies? Amen. Amen. And I'm going to finish with point number three. I'm just going to mention it. Number three, created to give birth to saviors. This is what God said to Eve. And this is for Mother's Day. This is the power of woman. She's compared to Holy Spirit. Big deal. She's compared to Jesus, who's also a helper to His Father. God cannot do it without one or the other. Jesus said, if I don't go, He can't come. I'm in one place, but when He comes, He'll be in all places at the same time. This is what God said to Eve after, you know, after the fall of Adam and Eve. 3:15, Genesis 3:15. And this is, actually God speaks this to Satan. He says, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Listen to this, woman. You have such power because you have ability to give birth. Men don't have that. But listen to even something greater. I don't know how even to explain this. This is a revelation. It has to be caught. Every woman who gives birth to a child, boy or girl, has a promise that your child in Israel, they were waiting that their son would be the Savior, the Messiah. We know that Jesus came and He was the seed of a woman. But it has, I believe, more meanings than that. Because every woman has to believe, just like Eve did, that her baby will become a Savior. Not Savior like Jesus Christ, but somebody who will come and help the humanity. That's why abortion is bad, because you're aborting somebody who can help fix AIDS, solve the AIDS epidemic. Women, you are able to give birth to Savior, to a hero, somebody who will come in and crush Satan's head. Mothers, you have such power. You have power to change. You don't know who your son or your daughter is going to be. What kind of influence he will have or she will have in this city, in this nation. The promise to a woman that
Your seed will crush Satan's head. Meaning, your baby will attack evil and crush his ugly head. And a lot of women don't want to be mothers. It's important. We want babies. We want children. We have a selfish culture. We want to live for ourselves. Listen, your child could be the answer. Listen to this again. And every mother or every woman could apply it to her. Listen to this. I will put an enmity between Satan and a woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head. The seed of a woman will bruise the head of Satan. Women, you have so much power. Why would you want to be a man? You don't. Because through your eyes, through your womb, you can have a save person who will save, who will bring peace to this world, who will bring godliness to this world, who will bring righteousness to this world, who will bring healing into this world. Don't allow Satan to tell you you're nothing unless you're a man. No. You're equal to men by being who you are. You're less than a man when you try to be a man. Because you can never be one. Are you hearing me, ladies? So 3 points today. Why was a woman created to be a helper? Number two, she was created to be feminine, not masculine so much. And number three, she was created to give birth to a Savior, Jesus Christ. And you were created to give birth. Maybe not on a scale as Jesus, but you were created to give birth to a child who is going to help this world.